Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Now, is the federal government heaping insult upon injury to asylum seekers caught on the merry-go-round known as the temporary bridging visa? These are the people who, in many cases, arrived by boat in that period where stop the boats became the mantra of Tony Abbott's government. He surfed that three-word slogan all the way into government from opposition. My own view is that these people are collateral damage as the Conservatives in the coalition government still try to appease right-wing shock jocks. These asylum seekers, many of whom will be found to be refugees, as did many on Manus Island itself, these asylum seekers are on a federal government program called Status Resolution Support Service, or SRSS. Now, asylum seekers on the SRSS, they get a payment called income support. However, changes to eligibility for that include possibly ceasing all payments to asylum seekers who are studying full-time, even though studying English full-time. The payment these asylum seekers get is set at about 89% of the New Start allowance. So less than people looking for work on the dole, New Start, just over $450 per fortnight for a single person. But consider this, welfare agencies now say that the payment is being stopped, as I say, if the person is in education or training. To my mind, really mean-spirited policy. One of the agencies concerned about this new turn of events is Anglicare. Zoe Palaiologos is Anglicare's research and advocacy officer in Sydney, and I asked her what the Status Resolution Support Service is for.
It's a support service for people who have arrived in Australia who are seeking safety, people who are hoping that they'll be able to leave persecution behind and start a new life in Australia.
So are they refugees as such?
Yes, people who are waiting for that final determination. So some may not be determined as refugees under Australian law, but many will be determined as refugees under the Australian law.
And so the proper title is probably asylum seekers, some of whom under our law will be classified as refugees, but nevertheless they've run away from a situation where they couldn't remain.
Exactly, Stephen. That's right. They've come here to seek safety and they are seeking asylum under Australian law. They came around the end of 2012, early 2013, and so they've already been living in the Australian community for over 5 years. So they're already maybe people that you know, people in the community, people who might go to your church or your school, you might work with them, or they might be your neighbour. So there's quite a few around.
So from a policy point of view, when the boats stopped coming, and this, the purpose of this interview is not to talk about that policy at the moment, but when the boat stopped coming, we had a large number of people seeking asylum. This was one of the political fixes or the policy fixes to deal with that backlog of people. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, you are. In terms of trying to think about a solution for people in Australia, the government put people on what's called a bridging visa and gave them this SRSS support. The problem with a bridging visa is, though, Stephen, that people who are on a bridging visa are usually quite quickly moved on to a different visa where they can start settling and moving on with their lives. But these bridging visas have been going on for over 5 years now for many people, so they haven't been able to move on and settle and fully integrate into the Australian community, although many have been doing that really well despite those circumstances.
Yes. And Zoe, is that because the process can take a long time?
It can take a long time if there are some complexities in the case, but it doesn't need to. That's the problem. There are some really simple and easy fixes to this. People were deliberately told that they couldn't make an application for refugee status for many years. And so that was a deliberate policy that was actually designed to keep people living in limbo for years in the community, which is really unfortunate for a lot of people. It's been really hard for them to be able to move past the persecution and trauma and circumstances from their past where they don't have that stability and security here in Australia.
Well, as with all of these things, it often is the case that the people who are the most vulnerable find that almost at every turn there's something preventing them from moving forward. What's the change, Zoe, that's recently taken place that Anglicare is very concerned about?
Yeah, we are concerned about this, and so are a lot of other refugee providers, because we've seen how some people have been impacted by another change in the last few months. Maybe if I can tell you an example of someone that we know, we'll call her Sarah. She came, like I said, over 5 years ago, and she was waiting at least 4.5 years before she could even make her application to the government, not through her own decision, but through the government's decision. So she's made her application, but she's still waiting for a final decision there. During that time, for most of that time, she wasn't allowed to have work rights. But then in the last couple of years, she was given some work rights and she's been working in hospitality. And during that time, saving up a bit of money so that she could do an advanced English course. She finally enrolled in that advanced English course. At the time, believing in good faith that she would be able to get this SRSS payment, which mm-hmm. is for people who are on the bridging visa waiting. Mm-hmm. But these recent changes have meant that if someone is deemed to be able to work full-time, then they're not allowed to get this SRSS payment. So she has subsequently had to quit the course that she had prepared for and planned for and saved up for, and gone back to her hospitality work, which she's happy to do, but it's really just this prolonging of not being able to get on with her life.
Our guest on Open House, Zoe Palaiologos of Anglicare. Let me just try to understand what you just said. If a person is in training, are you saying that they're deemed to be able to work and therefore the payment diminishes?
That's correct. It's actually cut off for some people that we know. So,
well, wouldn't we rather have people in training? I mean, isn't it the same thing? I don't understand that.
No, that's a really good point, especially for people who have so much to give to the Australian community, so much potential. This young woman I was just speaking about, she was a journalist in her previous country. She has great things to be able to offer to the community. She wanted to get that advanced English course under her belt. Mm. So we're talking about long-term plans, really great contributions to the community, but it's so counterproductive to implement policies like this when people actually have so much to offer us.
Now, just to test it a little bit further, you know, we'd like to get the full picture.
Sure.
Is the basis of that policy that they can receive some sort of training allowance and therefore that disqualifies them from the SRSS support payment?
We understand that the basis of that policy is purely the fact that if someone is able to work, they should be working whilst they're on this bridging visa.
Okay. So they say, look, being in full-time studies is the same as working. You should be able to work, get out and earn something, make a contribution to the country.
Exactly.
Which it does seem a bit mean-spirited, but I'm sure if I asked the federal government, they'd have an answer. But it does seem mean-spirited, doesn't it?
It does, especially for people who have actually been on this bridging visa for 5 years, as I said. Bridging visas are supposed to be a short-term solution in between two situations. But this has just been going on and on for years, and people want to get on with their lives. They want to be able to support their families, further their education, move up in their career. And it's really hard to do that when you're in this limbo state.
What sort of change would Anglicare and other agencies like you be asking the Commonwealth to make?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of really simple solutions to this situation. I know it's easy for us to say that, but we do believe, and it has been done here in Australia in the past, we do believe that the processing of protection visas can be done in a fast manner, in a fair manner for people.
Yes.
And whilst that's being done, it's good and proper that we support people who are in that situation, whether through it's an SRSS payment or some other form of payment so that they can have a quality of life here as they're waiting for that resolution. I think the other thing is we would really be pushing for a change in what actually happens when they are deemed refugees. We'd love for people to be able to have that permanency of knowing they can stay here in Australia. At the moment, when they get that determination that they're a refugee, the best they can get is a temporary visa. And that temporary visa means that they're not able to actually properly put their roots down when they've already been here for over 5 years, many of them. So a temporary visa means you can't reunite with your family, you can't travel overseas to see them. It means you've got to pay international student fees if you want to study. So it's a really, I guess, end of the road, but not good enough for people who have already been here and are actually making a great contribution already.
Well, Zoe, thank goodness that there are agencies like Anglicare that assist refugees, and that's one thing that people who are concerned about this can do, apart from lobbying their local Member of Parliament and asking them why is this the case. One thing they can do is to help agencies like Anglicare who are doing the heavy lifting.
Thank you so much, Stephen. That's great.
Zoe Palaiologos from Anglicare in Sydney. Before we leave the plight of the asylum seekers, though, I spoke with Joanne Elvery. She's a worker who works with asylum seekers at a church in Sydney's West. It's St. James Anglican Church in Baralla. And I asked Joanne to tell me about some of the people that she knows who are affected by this apparent change in federal government policy.
Her English level is quite good, and she's now studying at TAFE, Community Services. And she's so, you know, grateful to be able to study free of charge at TAFE New South Wales. But she's now very nervous that she won't be able to complete the course. She's nearing completion, and she wants to, you know, work in this sector. She would be wonderful with her background experience and language skills to work in social work.
Yes.
But she's just very nervous and worried now that this is going to impact her and that she'll have her payments stopped, which means she won't have money to live on, pay rent and daily living expenses, and may have to, you know, choose between studying or having money to live on.
Hanging above all of these people is one other issue, isn't it? And that is there's no certainty about their future.
Exactly, yes. The uncertainty that they've faced, and it's been ongoing for years now, not knowing when their one and only interview is going to come up, and having so much depend on that interview, and, you know, having waited so long, it's just been difficult, and they don't need this added stress and hardship, and I really think it's unfair that we're placing them in this position without really looking at each individual case. You know, the government has one rule for everyone in this group. They're not looking at their individual circumstances and how they can best support these people to be able to contribute to the society, to be able to reach their potential.
Well, and ironically, one of the arguments that has been used in the ideological battle here is that these people don't contribute, that they're a drain on society, and yet here's a government measure that's actually preventing them from becoming more able to contribute to Australia.
There's a father and son downstairs at church right now who the father's been working every day for weeks almost at our church, volunteering his time to help us with our renovations. And he's very skilled, highly skilled in his home country, and a hard worker and wonderful family, but he's actually not allowed to work here. It's been 8 years since he could work, and he's very grateful to have the opportunity to volunteer, but he's got so much to offer, and we've lost so much. The people that I know and work with here in our area, many of them have come to faith in Christ. They now belong to God's family, and they're our family in Christ. And we are so humbled and just impressed by how strongly they cling to their faith in Jesus and completely depend on God. They know that they have no other hope, no one else, only Jesus.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.